excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this Nevada edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you on the road home from the Nevada game. Got lots to say today, but I'm going to start out with the more pleasant stuff, talking about the stadium. It was wonderful to be home in Memorial Stadium. It was a great opportunity to see the new facilities, to revel in how wonderful it is. It is everything that I hoped it would be. Just really a culmination of a very long time. As for those of you who read my blog posts on how long it's been, how meaningful, how difficult it was to get to this juncture, just so great to be there and be part of the beginning of a new era of Cal football facilities. A few just minor interesting thoughts. I've seen this at every stadium, no matter how wide the concourses are, and obviously they were quite wide compared to what we're used to. But you know, they put the concessions in the concourses, and it really very quickly limits the concourse ability of the concourse to flow and to have good movement. Now, in the old stadium, I mean, it would just bring things to a halt. And here, at least, there'd be, you know, two rows of people, one going either way behind the concessions to keep things moving. So, obviously, it was a lot better. But still, I mean, for how wide that concourse is, somebody someday has to come up with a solution to this problem. There needs to be a way for the lines for the concessions to not be taking up walking space in the concourse. I'm not sure what the alternative is, but it's quite clear it's the biggest inhibitor to traffic flow through the concourses. I think a small part of that is people are going, you know, I think people had such high expectations. People are going to need to learn to not come up into the concourse, to use the beautiful plaza area below to walk close to their seat and then go up from there. I saw a lot of people who were moving significant portions throughout the stadium at the concourse level. And I think just naturally over time, they'll be walking that distance on the plaza level, which again, just blew me away. Was wonderful and a wonderful component of this overall project. And with time, people see, well, you know, the concourses, they still get pretty full, particularly with the concessions. And so you'll see more people walking at the plaza level and then going up to the concourse at the last minute. The bathrooms, wonderful. Tons more stalls, urinals, everything, just great. All the automated faucets to wash your hands, great too. They also had the family bathrooms, which with a family with young kids needing to change diapers, take two or three boys, or my wife to take two or three boys to the bathroom. Very nice to have those family bathrooms and very much appreciate it. Another kind of thing that I was looking forward to that was a little on the weaker side was there was this kids area up in the end zone in the concourse, and that was a big disappointment. I think more can be done with that. I have a feeling that over time they'll find the rhythm if they decide to stick to it, but right now it didn't seem like much of anything and really not worth the effort, you know, or any effort, because there really wasn't anything there. I would also encourage the university to consider the target age for it going down. It seems to me when they have kids stuff, whether it's at the spring game or the fan appreciation day or whatever, it always seems to be focused at kind of that preteen group, that 8 to, you know, 13 kind of range. And I just don't know that that's really what's best suited. Those kids actually are starting to get into football. They enjoy watching the game. I have kids in that range, and that's not the kids I need a children's area for. The children I need a children's area for is the youngins who have a difficult time lasting through the game. The 2-year-olds to the 7 and 8-year-olds at the older age. So they'd really be wise to drop their focus down 4 or 5 years to that kind of, you know, centered around kindergarten kind of age group, even younger perhaps. I think that's really where there's the most need, and hopefully that's where that small section will go. But so many great things, everything from the wide walkway from Maxwell Field up onto the plaza level, you know, made it so the accessibility to the pregame stuff was wonderful. All the wide walkways and staircases down to the streets, it really was exactly what they wanted it to be. It really was the great upgrade that we needed. My seats, you know, I'm sitting now in the cheap seats. The angle's definitely not as good as where I used to sit, but very happy with the spacing and the, you know, obviously the aluminum benches as opposed to the wood benches. Just so many very nice things. Great to be there. And now to change the subject dramatically to talk about the football game. This team's in trouble. And I'm going to start off with something a little of a tangent. I fully stand behind what I said in my blog post this morning about the house that Tedford built. This is the house that Tedford built, and I fully believe he deserves this year and next year, no matter how horrible the team is. But Tedford, I think I'm in the minority, and if this team continues the way it was playing today, despite what my feelings are, you're not going to get next year, and that would be a horrible shame in my opinion, but you need to do something to turn this team around. I saw a team out there that was playing flat, that didn't have any intensity. They reminded me of the team that played at the end of 2010. The play calling reminded me of the over-conservativeness that has at times plagued the program. I mean, actually, I thought Nevada was better than I thought they would be. Their quarterback is the real deal. He wasn't missing passes. He was throwing balls on target. He had the speed that they thought he, you know, that was advertised, and that even to our fast outside linebackers, he was causing trouble. And so clearly an impressive quarterback. And frankly, what that made me think was, why has there been such a problem at Cal finding a competent quarterback? It completely boggles my mind why we're in the situation we are right now. Tedford has a proven track record of developing quarterbacks, but maybe it's just he can't recruit quarterbacks. I don't know, but there is just no way to put together the success he had at Fresno State, Oregon, and his first few years in Cal, and then align that with what's happened ever since Longshore got injured. It's completely boggling to me, and there's just no other word for it. Maynard looks about as good as he did at the beginning of last season. He actually looked worse than he did in the second half of last season, and frankly, I think a big reason for that was that he did so well in the second half of that season is because our offensive line and everything was able to very effectively control things and get our running game working, which was horrendous today, by the way. We couldn't run the ball to save our lives. The pass blocking was very good, did a wonderful job protecting Maynard, but he still didn't find open receivers. When he went to throw the ball, the number of ones that were errant, a little offline, were way too many. There were a number of long passes that, a couple which he got bailed out on that, you know, were caught, but if he had put it in the right place, would have been easy touchdowns as opposed to 30 or 40 yard grabs where the guy was tackled. It was just very disappointing to watch. And for those who think, well, maybe it's time for the backup, we got one quarter of Bridgeford, which I'll come back to what the heck was going on there, but he was worse. He was even worse. So, we're not going to put him in. I mean, he's not a solution. He was even worse when Bridgeford was in the game. So we got a real quarterback problem. And obviously Nevada was playing very run heavy. They were doing everything they could to slow the running game and put the game on Maynard's shoulders, and he failed. He was not able to live up take advantage of that opportunity, and there were plenty of open guys to throw to. Onto the running back, I saw way too much C.J. Anderson and not nearly enough E.C. Sofelli. I'm sorry, C.J. Anderson has a lot of good things about him, but he's not E.C. E.C. is a better running back. I'd heard all the hype in the offseason about how C.J. had gotten better and was, now pushing E.C. for the starting job. Well, I didn't see that. I saw the same old C.J., there's a lot of things I like about him. I'm not trying to say that that's bad, but it wasn't something where I said, oh, well, now I see why he's pushing E.C. for the starting job. E.C. is the better back and needs to be played as the better back. And actually it was quite the opposite. C.J. Anderson was the starting back, and E.C. was spelling him. And I think that was a huge mistake and part of the reason that the Bears lost this game. As I said, the offensive line was not doing a good job of opening up running holes in either case, that was pretty disappointing. Wide receiver play, they bailed out Maynard a lot, which was good, but then there were also some drops. Hopefully they'll get those worked out. Keenan Allen also obviously was having some traction problem. He's going to need to work on his shoe solution, or at least his technique, because there were far too many plays where he was slipping and having trouble, and that hurt the team as well. So it's just all the way around. You looked at this performance on offense, and it was pretty stunted. And I'll come back to Bridgeford playing in the first quarter. But back to onto the defense. What a heartless, stunted performance. It was very disappointed. That they should have been able for the entire game to shut down Nevada pretty effectively. It took them, again, a half, kind of like the 2009 Armed Forces Bowl with that triple option. It took them a half to figure out how to play against the team, and even then they were leaving far too much open. Both of our corners, who have played well in the past, were not breaking quickly enough and letting players beat them. It was just a very weak performance. I was not seeing the kind of flying around I saw all of last season, and it's just very disappointing to see that. I don't think it was a scheme issue. I think the scheme that Pendergast wanted to use was fine, but I do think the players weren't executing it. And that, in part, falls on the coaching staff. They didn't do an effective job of prepping for this team, and it's just remarkable to me that that could still be the case. It's the third year in a row we've played a pistol team. By now, we should be getting the drift of it and how to defend it, and that didn't happen. Very, very disappointing on that front. And there's a lot of youth there. The defensive line was not winning the battle on the line of scrimmage. Again, I mean, we kind of lost this game in the trenches, and that was a big factor. So I really do think Nevada is better than I gave them credit ahead of time. A game where they would have won this 30-20 or about like Vegas would have suggested, I think would have been something to be happy about considering how good Nevada is. But losing this game is a really bad sign. This trip out to Ohio is going to be a disaster. We're going to get throttled, and then we're going to lose big to USC. And hopefully we can, by that point, have worked out the kinks, solved all the penalty problems. Actually, even just by the second half, that seemed to have kind of gone away. The rust had come off, but there was a lot of rust early and a lot of mistakes early that really, really hurt the Bears. We had a 14-point deficit to start the game, and we lost by 7. So the reality is once we got that rust off and started playing reasonably good football, we won the rest of the game, but that's not what matters. What matters is the final score. Special teams, I thought it was pretty good. The punter was pretty good. They made him do a rugby punt again, and for the life of me, I cannot understand what the love affair with the rugby punt is. It's nothing remarkable. D'Amato did a great job kicking field goals. That one that he missed, you know, players on the field were wondering why there wasn't a miss. I mean, it's clearly high and long enough, so he only missed it by a foot or two if he missed it. So a little bit unfortunate there, but it wasn't exactly a short kick. Plenty of leg, plenty of ability to get it into the end zone on his kickoffs. So very happy with him. The punter also did a fine job, has a very quick release, which is nice. Obviously doesn't have the leg of anger, but we wouldn't have expected that. He's serviceable and does a good job. And punt returns and kickoffs returns were sufficient, minus the one at the end of the game, which ended, thank God, was called back, but where Keenan Allen tried to do a lateral over to E.C. Sofelli. And, you know, I'm of a split mind of that. It's one thing to try some trickery when there's only, you know, 30 seconds left, try to do something unique to win the game. And so, on that standpoint, why not? But on the other hand, what it shows is a complete lack of confidence in your offense. And I'm really seeing a Tedford who knows he's got an offensive problem, knows that he doesn't have a team that, you know, is going to put up 40 and 50 points consistently. That you know, and it all starts with Maynard. So very, very disappointing to not see Maynard make the leap that Tedford claimed he had made. If anything, he played a worse game than he did against Fresno State. In fact, he definitely did. Which brings us back full circle to why didn't he play the first quarter. Now, I don't have any information or inside knowledge to know why, but I have to believe it was disciplinary. Obviously, if he had you know, done something, you know, that was you know, academically ineligible or something like that, he wouldn't be playing at all or anything like that. Clearly, it wasn't an injury problem. So it was something disciplinary. He did something that ran him afoul of Coach Tedford. And, you know, not knowing what it is, I generally am very supportive of coaches who are willing to, you know, bench their starting quarterback or their star player, whoever he may be, when he breaks team rules to the degree that it's worth, you know, sitting him out a quarter. And I fully support that. So got to assume that's what it is, but it's a sign of a team. Or at least your key player who isn't focused, who isn't where you need him to be. He needs to be a team leader, not somebody who's getting in trouble and getting benched. Very disappointing reflection of where Maynard is. And then it took him another... So we had one quarter of Bridgeford sucking it up. We had another quarter of Maynard getting his rest off. And so we really played one half of offense. And you're just not going to win a football game like that. And then when you add on top of it, very conservative play calling at a number of different moments. And the key one was when the ball was at the Cal 2-yard line. There was about 5 minutes left in the game. You know your defense has had its difficulties stopping the Nevada defense. You know if you give them the ball back with 3.5 minutes, they're going to have an opportunity to score, and you're not going to have much of an opportunity score back. So why are you going to be over-conservative, even when you're risking a safety in your own end zone? You have to go for the kill at that point. I don't care if it's 3rd and 16 from your own 6-yard line. You don't hand it up the middle to EC and say, let's just see how it goes. No, you have to have confidence in your offense. You have to dial up the 2 or 3 plays that you have that, you know, have a reasonably good shot at getting, 15 to 20 yards and make a go of it. It's just not appropriate at that point in the game. It's early in the first quarter, and that's what you need to do. But that was a critical moment in the game, and playing it over conservative with all of those runs was just not the right thing to do. And that wasn't the only instance of that. I really think the game plan here was just to run at Nevada and win it the conservative way, win it the way we beat Washington State and Oregon State and Utah last season. It felt like to me it was the strategy, and Nevada just gave the blueprint to every team in the conference. You do everything in your power to shut that up and force Maynard to make some passes. And he has shown no ability yet to really overcome that, you know, when he's not playing a significantly weaker team. And Nevada made the team play for it and pay for it. And just very, very, very disappointing. This team, I think the expectations on this team just dropped 2 to 3 wins. And even then, that's assuming some significant improvement, to work out the kinks and problems. So obviously we should win next week against Southern Utah, but we're not going to win at Ohio State with a performance like today. We're not going to beat USC. Even Stanford, who had a really weak game against San Jose State, which I think is an inferior team to the Nevada I saw today, but that game is a wash at best. ASU, UCLA all look challenging at home all of a sudden. On the road to Utah looks pretty difficult. That team, there's still some reason to worry about them a lot. On the road at Washington State, okay, that game feels more winnable after the poor performance against BYU. But again, this team is not playing well. They really played very poorly. They should have handled this Nevada team quite easily, and they didn't. So there's a big problem here. And this team only wins 4 games this year. I think Tedford loses his job, and I don't think that's what should happen. I think if he only wins 3 this season, or even 2 this season, he should have one more shot at it. Because he's just done so much for the program, he deserves at least 2 crummy seasons, and the other one would be the 2010 season, the 2012 season. So he gets one more shot in 2013. To turn it around, but I don't think he's going to get that sort of opportunity. The Cal fan base is too impatient. They know these facilities are a golden opportunity. They want to latch onto them before the recruiting cupboard gets too weak, and have an opportunity to move forward with somebody new. And I really would think that's too a shame. Ted deserves more than that. But on the other hand, I understand the other perspective. He has been paid handsomely to get the team to right here. So I hope he figures it out. I hope he finds some way to turn this around, because this was a nearly unmitigated disaster. It was a horrible, horrible game, and they need to get right back to solving some real problems. Part of it, I think the defense will do better against other offenses. There's no more pistol at UCLA, so we won't have to deal with this twice this season. But just incredible to see the team come out with so little heart in a brand new stadium. The defense playing so petrified and unsure of themselves was really, really frustrating. And then an offense that's playing conservatively with a subpar quarterback with, for whatever reason, Tedford can no longer work as quarterback magic, and we just have, the Nevada quarterback was a clearly superior quarterback, and we are getting recruits who in theory are far better recruits than Nevada's gotten. Kaepernick wanted to come to Cal and was turned down. I'm sure this guy probably, would have been interested in an offer from Cal and never got one. So, I don't know, but it's the reality. And Maynard is going to have to do something really different next week, the next couple weeks to get to a point where things are looking good. But we're looking at 1-3 in at the end of September. And coming into the end of September with that last game at home, I believe against Arizona State, if memory serves right. So, long rambling podcast there. Great to be in the new facilities. Sucks to lose a game like that. Hopefully they'll turn it around, and I'll talk to you next week on the road home. See you then. On the road again.